Good afternoon. So to understand why we have the readings that we do for this second Sunday of Advent, it's good to remember that Advent is a season of preparation and waiting not only for the first coming of Jesus at Christmas, but also preparation and yearning for the second coming of Christ at the consummation of history. And for example, the first reading from the prophet Isaiah speaks of the Advent or the coming of a Messiah who will usher in a definitive time of justice and peace. But we know that this time of ultimate and definitive peace will not come until the day of final judgment at the consummation of history. And in Jesus' first coming among us 2,000 years ago, he announced to the people where and how they would find that peace, and that is in following him, who is the Prince of Peace. Believing in Jesus as God and Lord of our lives, and following his example and commandment of love, that would ensure that we would be on the right side of history. After all, history is his story, right? So in today's gospel, John the Baptist is telling everyone to prepare for the coming of this Messiah who will usher in the kingdom of heaven, exclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And St. John the Baptist did not mince any words, was not afraid to call out even the prominent figures of his time, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, calling them, "You brood of vipers, do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father." In other words, don't rest on your laurels and think that just because you're a card-carrying Jew that you can coast until the day of judgment while so many of God's people are suffering and do not know the Lord. So he says, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. And then John the Baptist announces that there is one coming soon who is mightier than him, whose sandals he is not worthy of carrying. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then John the Baptist prophesies about how this Jesus will ultimately collect and gather up what is his and throw out what is not his at the day of judgment. Using the analogy of gathering wheat, John the Baptist says that Jesus will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Yikes. Advent is the time to prepare because being a card-carrying Catholic isn't good enough, right? It's whether or not we have given ourselves to be his, to be his wheat, who have allowed the very life of God, the Holy Spirit, to so animate our lives so as to produce good fruit in and through us. Advent is a time that we ensure that when the time of Jesus' first coming at Christmas arrives, and most especially when the day of judgment arrives, whether that's at the end of our own life or at his second coming, we cry out with ecstatic joy, "Jesus, my love!" rather than mutter with dread, "Jesus, my judge." That's why in between those two comings, he has given humanity this time of mercy. Right? From the time between his resurrection until the consummation of the world is this time of mercy that allows us to return to him with all our hearts. In the time between those two comings, we as the body of Christ, the church, are meant to fulfill the mission Jesus inaugurated and entrusted to us, which is the gathering of all of God's children to himself into the peace of his kingdom. But this mission isn't easy, just as it was in Jesus' time when his message got him what? Crucified. There is a lot of resistance to the message of the gospel these days. But as St. Paul reminds us in the second reading, we have a God of endurance and encouragement. So I want to share with you a story that recently encouraged me to continue fighting the good fight. Just before joining my family in Thanksgiving, I got to witness one of my best friends get sworn in as ambassador to Fiji and the other island nations of Kiribati, Nauru, Tonga, and Tuvalu, all there in the South Pacific, right? So Joe is this devout Catholic, and he had priests and nuns and a number of other notable Catholics there at the swearing-in. such as the former ambassador to the Holy See and the president for the March for Life. But the most memorable part was just seeing his amazing wife, Kristen, along with his 7 children, all of whom will be going to Fiji with him, so hopefully the house is big enough, holding up the Bible for him on which Joe's hand rested while he was being sworn in. Proud moment there. But there were 2 guests at the swearing-in that I had the honor of meeting that I particularly want to mention, 2 recipients of the Medal of Honor, which is our country's highest and most prestigious individual military award in honor of acts of valor. They were Walter Joseph Marm and Edward C. Byers. You can see them wearing their medals of honor there. The stories of both of these valiant Catholics are worthy of sharing, but in the interest of time, I just want to offer one of them as an example of this attitude of readiness, this Advent attitude of readiness in fulfilling the mission given us. Edward Byers, 7 years my younger, just 40 years old, but he's already the most decorated Navy SEAL today. You guys know what a Navy SEAL is, servers? Yeah, what is a Navy SEAL? You know? Special forces of the Navy, right? So they're the elite special forces that go in for special missions. And so he's the most decorated Navy SEAL today, along with his Medal of Honor. He has 2 Purple Hearts and 5 Bronze Stars with Valor. He was born in Toledo and grew up in Grand Rapids. In his 21-year period of serving as a SEAL, he was deployed 11 times with the multiple combat tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. And during those years of war, he would make time for daily prayer. And by 2012, he had already been deployed to a war zone 7 straight years. Each of those years on duty, 280 to 300 days per year on average. Having been in multiple life-threatening situations, he would ask God in prayer, "What is your intent for me? What is your intent with me? Why am I still here?" He said he would reflect on that a lot, as he doesn't believe in consequences. In his barracks, he posted notes that reminded him of his daily goals. So he'd post, you know, "Did you work out today?" And right beside that, "Did you pray today?" So that's a great reminder as we conclude this year of prayer that we have to work daily on both our physical and mental or spiritual health as well as mental. I thought of sharing this story for sure when I saw the date of the specific mission that would earn him his Medal of Honor. The mission was on December 8, 2012. So 7 years ago to this day, the day on which we normally celebrate what? Yes, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, Our Lady's Feast Day. And this year, because today, December 8, falls on the second Sunday of Advent, we'll be celebrating the Immaculate Conception tomorrow, December 9. And as a result, it's not a holy day of obligation this year. We will nevertheless be celebrating Mass here at St. John, 7 p.m., in observance of the solemnity for anyone who wants to come. But again, it's not a holy day of obligation. Anyway, the mission of SEAL Team 6 on December 8, 2012, was to rescue an American aide doctor, Dilip Joseph, who was captured by the Taliban 3 days earlier. So Edward Byers and a team of his brother SEALs hiked 4 hours through the Afghanistan mountains to a small single room building where they held Dr. Joseph hostage. And at this point, you know, they prayed together before the mission. And so at this point, I want to quote from the Medal of Honor citation of what happened next. It says this: Chief Byers with his team sprinted to the door of the target building. As the primary breacher, Chief Byers stood in the doorway, fully exposed to enemy fire, while ripping down 6 layers of heavy blankets to clear a path for the rescue force. The first assaulter pushed his way through the blankets and was mortally wounded by enemy small arms fire from within. Chief Byers, completely aware of the imminent threat, fearlessly rushed into the room and engaged an enemy guard aiming an AK-47 at him. He then tackled another adult male who had darted towards the corner of the room. During the ensuing hand-to-hand struggle, Chief Byers confirmed the man was not the hostage and engaged him. As other rescue members called out to the hostage, Chief Byers heard a voice respond in English and raced toward it. He jumped atop the American hostage and shielded him from the high volume of fire within the small room. While covering the hostage with his body, Chief Byers immobilized another guard with his bare hands. His bold and decisive actions under fire saved the lives of the hostage and several of his teammates. By his undaunted courage, intrepid fighting spirit, and unwavering devotion to duty in the face of near certain death, Chief Byers upheld the highest traditions of the United States Naval Service. End of the quote. Wow. So surviving that mission made Chief Byers the first living Navy SEAL since the Vietnam War to receive the Medal of Honor. Chief Byers credits his Catholic faith in getting him through all of those years and still have a soul. He had this to share about a devotion he had since 2005, a devotion we practice at the end of each Mass here. He said, "War is not pretty and it's not kind. A lot of horrific things happen, things that impact you psychologically and emotionally. So I really turned to Saint Michael the Archangel, the patron saint of the military. The prayer to Saint Michael, 'Defend us in battle, be our protection,' really struck home for me. During my first deployment to Iraq in 2005, we were walking up to a group of Navy SEALs that were leaving. I saw a guy wearing a colorful patch of Saint Michael that said in Latin, 'Sancte Michael, ora pro nobis,' which means, 'Saint Michael, pray for us,' right? I don't know what compelled me, but I just walked right up to him and said, 'That's a really cool patch. Can I have it?' I don't know who this guy was to this day, but without hesitation, he just gave it to me and said, 'It protected me while I was here, and I hope it does the same for you.' I wore that patch on my uniform for every single operation I've ever been a part of." On receiving the Medal of Honor, Chief Byers said, "I see it as a chance to witness to my faith and to give glory to God. I mention God and Saint Michael at every single speech I give. I have an obligation to do that because of the graces I have received." Chief Byers is also a Knight of Columbus, and he offered some advice to his fellow knights, but it's not just good advice for Knights of Columbus, but for all of us as a parish family. He said this: "Look out for your brothers and sisters to the left and the right of you." It's good not that we know their names here. "There is so much depression in the world," he says, "and I think it comes from a lack of hope. Never forget about those people on the margins. Help them feel they're important and help instill the virtues that God intends for you to have, for us to have: faith, hope, and love. You can bring hope through your good nature and the works that you can do for somebody." There's so much applicability to what Chief Byers says about war for just life in general, right? Life, too, is often not pretty and kind. It's not just in war. It's not just in war that bad things happen that impact you psychologically and emotionally. And so, just as it was for Edward Byers' daily relationship with God that got him through the worst of situations, it will likewise be our daily relationship with the one who is more powerful than all of life's circumstances that will get us through our own trials. But as St. Paul, St. John the Baptist, and most especially Jesus tells us, we have to be ready. Right? We have to be already his to have that relationship with him before those tough trials come. And that's what Advent is all about. Right? It's making sure we're ready. And so on Thursday, December 12, we as a parish will be turning to the one who best helps us get ready for the arrival of her son. And that is Our Lady. So this Thursday on the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, we'll be consecrating our parish to her, the patroness of the Americas, So I invite you to come to this very special O Come Let Us Adore Him night of adoration as we follow Bishop Boyer's counsel at the end of this historic year of prayer to consecrate our parish family to Our Lady. And as preparation for that, later this evening, we will have a free showing of the Blood and the Rose, which is a docudrama on the full history of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Now, I wouldn't recommend bringing young kids to the film, as it does go into gruesome detail about the Aztec cult of human sacrifice that preceded the evangelization of the Americas. And it's a little long for kids, too. But if you can stomach that whole human sacrifice thing, please come this evening at 6 p.m. at the Parish Center to learn the in-depth historical context of Our Lady of Guadalupe. She is the woman depicted in the book of Revelation who crushes the head of the serpent. Along with Saint Michael, she will get you battle ready.